was wonderful. All right, let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, Christ is risen. Christ is risen. What a thing to say. You all know the story. It's early morning. Two women are on their way to a tomb. They know where they're going because they were there when they laid him in the tomb. Because when everybody else went away, they stayed. And they're going because he died. And when somebody you love dies, you grieve. And that's what they came to do, to grieve the dead. And then, out of nowhere, the ground shakes and the stone is moved and the tomb is empty and he's not there because he's been raised, he's been resurrected. But it's worth remembering that first part, that Jesus was dead. He wasn't playing dead. He wasn't, like the Princess Bride says, mostly dead. He was dead, dead, like stone cold dead. And now he isn't. And that is good news. Startling news? Yes. Unsettling news? Absolutely. And good news, like the best news. Because resurrection is not like resuscitation. You're not bringing a body back to the life that it had before. Resurrection means that what we thought was settled is not settled. Resurrection means that what we thought was the end is not the end. Resurrection means that everything we thought we knew about life, about death, about the world, about ourselves, about what God can do, all of it is up for grabs. And that is good news. And we could use good news, right? This year, our community experienced the unthinkable but all too common reality of gun violence. Our kids, our teachers, our families, innocent people just going about their day. And that is so unfair that it takes my breath away. All around us, people are carrying more than they can. They're carrying grief, carrying illness, caregiving, waiting for news of a loved one, living with uncertainty, working too much and taking care of themselves too little, trying to keep going in a world that feels like every day it throws more at us than we can handle. I've heard people say it, and I've said it myself. What is the world coming to? But on Easter, we don't say, look what the world is coming to. We say, look what has come into the world. Hope that our lives and this world are not stuck like this, that we can look at the world and the people in it and see possibility. Hope that there's a chance for us to begin again with God and with one another, that we can reach God, that we can be reconciled with God in ways that we thought we couldn't see before, in ways that we didn't know existed. We don't have to settle for a life apart from God, because God stepped into this world. God lived and loved and died and has been raised. which means that death, his and ours, doesn't get the final word. Love does. Justice does. Mercy does. Forgiveness does. They win. The resurrection is proof that the God who came to be with us, who walked this earth and showed us what God loves like and acts like, does not and will not leave us to our own devices, leave us to our sin, leave us to our world that sometimes looks so much like death and violence and cruelty. The resurrection is proof of what we hope is true and what we dare to believe, that the arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice. It bends towards life. It insists on life. Right here, right now, right at this moment in our world and in our lives. On Easter, we don't say Christ was risen. We say Christ is risen. The resurrection isn't something that we just remember. It's something that we live right here on Easter Sunday morning and also at like 4 p.m. on a Wednesday. Whenever and wherever people show up, when it's easier to stay away, whenever and wherever love breaks through in places that shouldn't stand a chance, wherever and whenever mercy and compassion refuse to disappear, resurrection happens. Resurrection calls us to be people who do not accept that death and violence is the only way that the world has to be. Resurrection calls us to be people who carry hope into places that feel like tombs, to be people who become that good news that the world is waiting to hear, that the world wants and needs desperately to hear. Mary Magdalene holds the distinction of being the only person who is mentioned in all four Gospels as being at both the cross and the tomb. Her presence is so important and so impactful that she is known as the Apostle to the apostles. She is the first one to receive the good news, and she's the first one to preach the good news. Mary came to follow Jesus after he cast seven demons out of her. Now, the fact that they mention the number of demons leads me to believe it is an exceptionally large number of demons. But regardless, she became a disciple, and she helped to bankroll Jesus' ministry from her own resources. Mary is, as the theologian and preacher Nadia Boltz-Weber says, the patron saint of showing up. She is also the patron saint of going and telling the good news. And she and her story have something to teach us about what it looks like to embody and to live and to share that good news. First thing that her story tells us is that good news belongs to the people who, in the eyes of the world, have very little to lose. People like lepers and loose women and drunks and foreigners and prisoners and slaves and children, all of those people, they inhabit Jesus' parables and they inhabit his heart. People like Mary and people like our sweet stumbling Peter. But the story shows us also that the good news belongs to people who, in the eyes of the world, have a lot of power, privilege. People like a rich young man, and a landowner, and a woman of independent means. People like Zacchaeus the tax collector, the Roman centurion. The first thing that the story shows us is the good news belongs to everyone, that the good news is for everyone, and that everyone has a role in telling it. The second thing that Mary's story shows us is that you have to look in the tomb. I once heard someone say the tomb isn't empty to let Jesus out. the tomb is empty to let the witnesses in. And I think that's true. I think that you have to be willing to face the scariest, the ugliest, the saddest place in the world in order to tell the resurrection story. I mean, I look closely at our world and I see people who are as brokenhearted as Mary was on that morning. I see people who are hurt and hurt others. I see people who live with violence. I see people who are suffering from at least 7 demons. If I look at myself, I see myself falling asleep in the garden and denying the truth out of fear and failing to be present for the people I should love the most. Mary Magdalene shows us that we don't need to be afraid to look at all of that hard stuff. That hard stuff is what makes resurrection so important. The resurrection doesn't erase the tragedy and the horror of the cross. The resurrection doesn't make that cross okay. The resurrection is God's response to that, to the hardest, saddest, cruelest death imaginable. Still love triumphs. Still God makes a way for even this to be the opportunity to bring newness and redemption and reconciliation into the world. So even if you weep, you should look into the tomb. Because the people who face down their demons, the people who are willing to look at the scary and hard parts of the world and of their lives, are some of the bravest people in the entire world. And you cannot tell the story of the resurrection unless you know the tomb. The third thing that Mary teaches us is that sharing the good news is something that you have to look for. Most of the time you find it in very unlikely places. It's that angel that Carolyn told us about who gives Mary the good news. She's there weeping. She's there mourning the murder of her friend. She's lost in her own sorrow. And then this person comes up. And it's not the person she wants to see. And it's not somebody who belongs there. But she talks to him. And through her tears and through her shock and through her fear, she lets him tell her this amazing good news. Mary's story teaches us we find resurrection all around us, in the person choosing recovery, in the person learning to use their voice even when it shakes, in asking for help when you've been carrying too much, in the courage to face the worst thing and keep living, in the slow, long work of healing in a community that has known violence but refuses to be defined by it. And the last thing that Mary's story shows us is you have to go to Galilee. The good news is meant to be shared. The good news is too good to keep to ourselves. The first thing the resurrected Jesus tells her when she sees him and falls to her knees and grabs his feet in what I imagine to be an act of worship, mixed with joy, mixed with confusion, mixed with relief. The first thing he says is, "Do not be afraid." And the next thing he says is, "Go and tell my brothers where they can find me." Mary Magdalene went from that tomb and proclaimed the good news on that day. And she did not stop proclaiming the good news until the year 72 when she died. There's this great story about how Mary once went to see the Emperor Tiberius, and she brought an egg, which is a symbol of new life, and she told him about Jesus. And the emperor said, a person can no more rise from the dead than that egg can turn red. And the story goes that the egg turned red in Mary's hand. And she looked at the emperor and she said, Christ is risen. Beloveds, that is the good news. That's the best news. It's the hope for the world news that the world needs from us, which means you, each one of you. You don't have to be the right kind of person. You don't have to know all of the right answers. You do have to be a little brave. You do have to look into the tomb. You do have to keep your eyes open for the resurrection all around you. And you do have to tell it, to share with others the good news that you know that the world isn't finished yet, that God is still at work, that mercy and hope have come into the world. Christ is risen. What a thing to say.